God, thank you so much that I can be here and just with these wonderful, wonderful women, God, that have been on our hearts for a long, long time. Thank you for the way that you pull your family, your kingdom, your church together across the ocean and across the miles, and how we can really love each other just when we just meet each other for the first time. I pray tonight, God, that you'll help me say the right things in the right way, and that you'll just give me an extra dose of your spirit, which I'll need with the jet lag. And God, just help me to really meet the needs here tonight of the women, and that they could take something home that could really help them in their walk with you. Thank you so much for your son, for all that he is and does and has done, and just the incredible, incredible Savior and Lord and friend that he is to us. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay. I may wear my glasses. I may not. I'm the mother of three adult children. My oldest daughter is 28, Trisha. She's in law school. She's bilingual. She's Paul. She's very brilliant, and we knew this from a young age. And you'll probably hear a lot more tomorrow about our children, so I don't want to get off too much on our children. But she's dating now a guy that we really like. He's Jamaican Chinese, which, yeah, really fits when you hear the rest of the story. My daughter Laura, my second daughter Laura, is 25, and she's been married 3 years to a wonderful, wonderful guy. And they live in Colombia, which is fun. They try to keep their distance sometimes, but we keep our eye on them. And it's just fun to have them around. And they work with the campus. Then my son John is 22. It's amazing. We got him when he was 8 years old from China. We put the girls on the plane, and we flew to China and got this little boy that didn't speak English, and we didn't speak Chinese. It was amazing. And so the Jamaican Chinese boyfriend is great because it makes John feel like, oh, yeah, well, maybe he's, you know, somewhat like me. And they're all doing great as disciples today. You know, they are really great, and they've done a great job just in their own personal lives. And we're so proud of them. And I just have to say it's been a lot of work, but it's been a lot of fun, too. And so I'm here to just share some things with you, not about raising kids, but in Titus 2, this kind of has become, I mean, I'm finally here. Older women train the younger women. Wow, that's amazing. You know, to do what? Love your husbands, your children, to be self-controlled, to be pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to your husbands. And I've lived and said that verse many, many times in the last few years, especially as our role has changed in the church. Now, we were in New York City. This is our third time in Columbia, South Carolina, and Paul was an elder there. But we moved back to Columbia because his parents were very, very ill, especially his dad. So that got us back to Columbia. It's amazing how God does those things in your life to get you where you need to be. And he just comes out of nowhere, you know, and that's what's exciting, I think, about the Christian life. But tonight, I'm not even, let's go over to 2 Peter 1. We're going to start over there. Oops. And we're going to talk a little bit about spiritual maturity. And how can we grow at this point in our life? And how can we stay, you know, because we're never just stagnant. If you're staying the same, then you're probably just really kind of going this way a little bit. You don't want to go this way. Now, we're going to go like this some, okay? But what we want to see is the progress and the things. And God really can do amazing things. Here I am standing here in Africa. I mean, that's amazing to me, you know, after all these years of being a Christian. And I started at a very early age and in high school searching out God and later went to Gainesville, Florida, which probably means nothing to you, but it was a huge campus ministry there. And I was already through college. So I went after college, but I was very involved with campus and singles and all that. And that's where I met Paul at the church there. So we've had a sweet ride. We've been married 31 years. And it's been great. We've had some years that weren't so great because tough things happen. And I think that's, we have to work on spiritual maturity when things aren't great. I mean, are great. Because when things aren't great, guess what? It's harder to work on spiritual maturity. But if you're mature and spiritual before you hit those bumps, then that's going to carry you through those times. So 2 Peter 1, let's start there. And I'm going to kind of bounce around. And again, I'm not sure how jet lag will affect my continuity here, so just hang with me. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, she is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that she has been cleansed from her past sins. Therefore, my sisters, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never, 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 never fall. Okay, I added that. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is an amazing scripture and amazing. I often think about, I probably have this somewhere else in my notes. Oh, yeah, it's down there, but I'm going to say it here. When Jesus came, the Jews had a certain perspective, didn't they? They had a religion. They had the Word of God, actually. They had the written Word. But Jesus had to come, and there's a reason for that. None of us get it just by reading our Bible on our own, okay? I think if the Jews didn't get it, we probably don't either in and of ourselves. Sometimes you may hear people say, yeah, me and God, just me and God. And I've heard this many times. And we do need to have that deep, deep relationship. We do need to know the Word of God. But the Jews knew the Word of God probably better than we do, what they had, and yet missed the relationship with God. So he's given us this room of people and worldwide, actually, to be able, because you've got to, they had to see Jesus in the flesh, okay? They had to be able to touch and feel and see. And I think more than anything else, be able to see how to model what the scriptures actually talked about. So I want that to be a frame of reference from where I'm coming from. Today, you may know your Bible. You may be able to quote your Bible, quote a lot of scriptures in your Bible. But unless we can look around and help each other and see the living Word of God in his church, then you're probably not going to get it, because it is about relationship. What's the first greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. you can't separate God and people. You can't separate God, Jesus and his church. So nothing I'm going to say is probably new to you tonight, but hopefully it will maybe be reminders. And I think I didn't read verse 12, but it said, so I will always remind you of these things. And that's kind of what we do as we get older as Christians. We just have to remind ourselves and remind each other, because we already know what the Bible says. We know it. Hopefully we've lived it and we're doing it. But we can't do it without the support and without the body, okay? You can't have the head, right, without the body. And how integral a part of our lives that has to be. Now, all right, you probably know those things. We have everything. Ephesians 3, I'm just going to say some things you can write down. 3, 20, and 21. We have everything we need for life and godliness. I didn't write these down because I was just writing these notes. Here's what it says. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. To him who's able to do immeasurably more than we ask. Do you still believe that? That he'll do immeasurably more than you ask him to do by the power that's in us and in Jesus. So everything we need. Okay, 2 Peter, let's go back there. Uh-oh, I'm somewhere else. It says we have everything we need for what? Yes? Life and godliness. Okay, can't separate the two. We can't just be spiritual without having the life. Life is real. We have everything we need for life and godliness. So, you know, do you still believe that? In verse 4 it says, through his promises we can participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world. Now, here's my deal with that. Escape the corruption. Sometimes we just need to meditate on some scriptures. Meditate and really think through what does that mean? What does that mean for me? If I don't think the world is that corrupt, then that verse doesn't mean a lot to me. But I have to see the corruption. How does the world corrupt me? Well, let me tell you how it is for women in the U.S. of A. I imagine for here too. TV. Shops. What we wear, what we talk about, what we say about each other, what we do with our time. We are going to be judged on how what we say, what we do with our time, and who we, you know. There's a third one. I'll think of it in a minute. I'm not reading off my notes now, okay? Anyway, but those are the things that are going to get us in the end. We can read our Bible every single day. We can say, I believe it, I believe it. But if the world is influencing us more than the scriptures and the women who are in our lives, then we're going the wrong direction. It's very subtle. Satan's very, very subtle. And, you know, where are we? Durban? Cape Town. Cape Town is a lot like where I'm from. I was amazed. We went out to eat. I literally feel like a queen, really. Thank you and thank you. It's amazing. We went out and ate this great food by the pier and saw the cloud over the mountain. That's just amazing to me. And then Linnell, y'all should all stay with her for a weekend. You know, it's just great. But sometimes we can be corrupted. We don't use that word, do we? But we can be corrupted. First of all, it starts right here in our thinking. We think, oh, this is great. This is nothing wrong with this. But even the good things in the world can corrupt us when it comes to our spiritual life and those things that I just mentioned. Our kids, we want great things for our kids. But sometimes we allow the world to have more influence than the church on our children, just like we do with ourselves. So it's a battle. I'm telling you, at my age, it is a battle to keep this on straight, to keep the corruption of the world. And it's getting worse. Thank God my kids couldn't text. I mean, they didn't have it when they were in high school. Now they have it now. But, you know, we kind of trained in their brain and before that. And we make sure they have close relationships. And they're out of our house now. But their relationships they have now, that's what's going to make the difference for them. You know, at some point, parents, well, they don't want to hear it from you anymore, but they want to hear it from their friends. Well, they better have spiritual friends. They better have the right friends. And there's a lot you can do to set that up. Oh, I always get off on the kids. Sorry. Okay. You increasing, let's see what it says. I'm going to just kind of go through this. And if you've never done a word study, you probably have, but this is good. Time and time again, I go back to this list right here. Faith, goodness, love, self-control. I mean, all these qualities. And do a word study and think, what am I lacking in my own life? We have to dig personally. This has to hit home. Not somebody coming up to me and saying, oh, I noticed you have, you need to work on your self-control. Nope. I've got to see it. I better be seeing those things first. Now, hopefully somebody would say that if I need to work on my self-control, or how about my knowledge of the word? Well, I work for the church. I better know the word of God. But my knowledge has to extend to a knowledge of who Jesus is, not just a knowledge of what the word says. My goodness, am I being good, you know? My faith, how about my faith? How about my perseverance, you know? How about my godliness, brotherly kindness? How about my love, you know, for people in the church, out of the church, whoever, people in general? It's a good study to do and go back. It's a good test to say, which one of these do I need in increasing measure? I've got to get there. I've got to get there in my life because it will keep me from being ineffective. And I tell you, sometimes this comes along because I'm going, gosh, I just feel ineffective and unproductive. I probably don't use those words, okay? I probably just feel, ugh. But if I go to this scripture, I think, oh, yeah, that's it. I'm being ineffective. I don't feel like I'm being effective with my friends, with people in my life. I don't feel like I'm being effective with my kids or my husband. I don't feel like I'm being effective. And I'm certainly being unproductive, you know, in my life. Well, maybe I'm watching too much TV that week. Maybe I'm, you know, I don't know what you do. Probably the same things I do. I actually go to exercise class now. It's the greatest thing. But I can't do it too much. I do it twice a week. But, you know, we get into those things that are a lot of fun to do and forget that we've got to really, what matters is what's inside us, not what we do, you know, outside that we fun and all that. So, you know, here's some other ways to put it, because all these are, you know, Bible talk. Who have I gotten with this week? You know, who have I shared a scripture with this week? Who have I really thought about in my quiet times, in my time with God, and gotten some inspiration to say, you know, I was thinking about you today, and here's the scripture. I do that a lot with my children, and I'll share with you. I've written up, I'm going to give these to Lisa when I leave, and some Linnell will have them, but they're on my email. But they're all the scriptures out of Psalms that through the years, I just decided to type it up for my kids, I'm calling them my kids. I have a staff of 4 young women. I'm the only older woman on staff right now. 4 young women. I thought, oh, Lord, how did I get here? You know, not that I don't love young women. I do. But you know how it is. You want peers. You want people to, and they're so young. They're my daughter and 3 of her, you know, they're a little bit older than her. They're young moms. But you know what? It's been a great opportunity to share my life and to share God's word, and not to just think they know God's word so they'll get it. And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. Okay, we're still on personal, so let me try to. This is one of my bad things. I get off track a lot. Hebrews 5:14 says, solid food is for the mature who by constant use. You did it one time, great. How about doing it again and again and again and again? And how about helping each other do it again and again and again and again? Who have trained themselves. Who trained them? Themselves. Who trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now that goes back to being corrupted by the world. Can you distinguish good and evil in your life, in the world, in somebody else's life? No, you can't unless you've done it constantly. Unless every day, every week, every year, every month, whatever. Constantly, you get my drift. Constantly, we have to think, what is corrupting my soul? And, you know, it's different for different people, but there's some things are key to everybody. Again, need I say TV, computer. I'm just saying TV because, really, it's such an easy way to relax and be mindless. But too much is too much. Texting, I know today, the computer. If I ever get on Facebook, it takes hours. I hate that thing. But I do it because I have to stay in touch with my kids and all the younger generation. You know, so again, training ourselves to discern what we can do. I mean, we can read the wrong things. We can read the wrong things. We can cross that line of being impure in our mind. We can cross that line if we're not careful, even as older women. And, of course, Scripture in Titus says, don't be addicted to much wine. Well, personally, that's not my thing. I don't drink wine or anything alcoholic. But a lot of older women, that's what happens. You get addicted to things that make you feel good, right? Instead of getting your feel good from Jesus and from the kingdom. So whatever it is right now that makes you feel great, you can name it, right? Think about it. You've got to distinguish when you cross the line. You've got to distinguish good from evil. And if you're not influencing somebody else, or if you're ineffective or unproductive, then you better think really hard about your life and about what's going on with your life. Okay, we got to be equipped. How do we go on to have bigger dreams for God or in our life? And I think we need those dreams. Remember when you were young? I mean, some of you are still young. Okay, I don't want to be insulting here. Young people have dreams. It's great. My kids, the world is at their feet, literally, because they can go anywhere they want, you know, considering they have the money to do it. And they can, there's so much opened up to us today. I mean, here I am at 60 almost traveling the world. It's incredible. But sometimes, you know, it would have been easier for me just to let Paul come, to tell you the truth. It gets me out of my comfort zone to have to get on that airplane for 15 hours and fly across the world. I did it 15 years ago when we picked my son up from China. But can I do it again? And can I do it again? And can I do it when I'm 80 and 90? I hope so. I hope so. It's really easy, actually. You don't do anything but get on the plane. But, you know, it's not that comfortable. It's not that comfortable to come to a new place. I can't even figure out how to plug in the appliances here, you know. But what is a dream that you are uncomfortable with, but you'd really like to do it? See, that's the thing about dreams. We want to do it, but will we have the faith to do it? Of course, my dreams as a young person was, one, get married to a spiritual guy, to the right person. that all my children will be disciples one day. That my dream is my grandchildren to be disciples. And we have prayed every day before we had kids for our kids to be disciples before we had kids. You got to get there before. You can't get there at the moment, okay? That's what I'm trying to say about spiritual maturity. You have to be ready. You can't go into battle without the armor. You can't go into battle without knowing who you're fighting. You have to be ready. Well, I've seen those dreams come true. I got to have some new dreams, right? And sometimes when we get older, we don't want to dream. We want to sit at home in our nice houses, relax, have some coffee. You know, my favorite thing is just having coffee with friends. You know, well, I have to say exercise classes up there now. It's really a lot of fun. And it's mostly people older than me. But I conned two friends into coming with me. And it's a way we can serve the older people. And it's so much fun. They love having us in the class. Some of them, my son is actually coming on the Swamp Corps. Y'all know about that. That where they're bringing a bunch of kids over. 14 kids from South Carolina are coming. And that's the biggest contingent anywhere. Okay, I'm just bragging a little bit. But and he has raised all his money himself. He works because we can't afford to send him. It's very expensive. The flight is expensive. It's what's expensive. They're coming over here to have a camp for the underprivileged kids in Joburg, I guess, right? It's going to be in Joburg. But he's staying 3 more months in Durban. Isn't that amazing? This little Chinese little boy we got in China, that's a dream he's had. He's worked hard to get there. I can't even talk about it without crying because he has worked so hard. We didn't give it to him on a silver platter. He has worked that hard. And there's a scripture. The day we flew over here was his spiritual birthday. And there's a scripture that I have his name written by in my Bible, and it's Psalms 25. May we shout for joy of your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. And I just think that. We lift up our banners when our children succeed. Let's do that too when people succeed around us in the church. We need to have those scriptures. We need to write those names by those scriptures and say, this is my scripture for you. My psalms are filled with initials of my children and my children-in-law now, you know. And we consider him a children, although he's 6'5". It's kind of funny to call somebody 6'5" your children, but I guess he's my children. So he's included in our heritage now and in our family and in our spiritual dreams and goals for our children. And if you can do it at home, okay, this is very key. If you don't hear anything I say, this isn't even in my notes. If you can do it at home, you can do it in the church. If you will just extend yourself a little bit. You have to be able to adopt people. Adoption is just bringing somebody into your heart, in your life. You may never adopt somebody from China, okay? But you can adopt people here into your heart and life. And it's the same thing. It's the same principle. It's the same way you go about it. The four women I was talking about that are on staff with me that are young and having young kids, and one of my daughters, so, okay, that's a given. That's easy. But they now are part of my heart and life, and we decided at the first of the year, you have to know Columbia's history and all, but a year ago, we said, oh, the staff not looking so good. These are young kids. We've got to do something. So I had to get off my comfort zone again. I'm trying to think of comfort zones I've had to get out of to help you visualize and see where you can get off in your comfort zone and go somewhere else and figure out how to relate to these young women again and figure out how to teach them. You know, some things you can do, but you don't know how to teach them. You may be able to do them. So that's the test. You've got to be able to do it and teach it. okay, as a disciple. That's who we are. We've got to do it, and then we've got to teach it. So it's really caused me some brain activity. You know, the cobwebs kind of, I can almost hear it, to think, what did we do at that age? Oh, my gosh, it seems like a lifetime ago. What did we do 28 years ago with our children? What did we do 28 years with our kids, but also have a ministry where we converted people into the kingdom? So anyway, that's just so key. If you do it at home, you can do it, but you've got to think to do it. We don't use our brains enough, and I'm certainly not your cerebral person. I would much rather go out and have a good time and let Paul think. But in my walk with God, I have to think. I have to consider. I have to really log on. And Romans 12, 1 and 2 says that. Y'all know that scripture. It says, let's see, maybe I better go there because I'll goof it up. I do my own version. Okay, therefore I urge you, sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. That's what I'm talking about. Living sacrifices. You're living, but you have to be a sacrifice. That means time, money, whatever you have to sacrifice. It may be you have to sacrifice a little embarrassment, you know, for your life. You may have to tell somebody something embarrassing that happened to you to help them. You know, we need to be living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, because you know what? This is your spiritual act of worship. Sitting here in church, that's what we think of, isn't it? Is our spiritual act of worship. It says living sacrifices. That's your spiritual act of worship, okay? Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. There it is again, isn't it? The pattern of this world. And we are so entrenched in this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, your brain. Got to work. It's got to work in a spiritual way. Then you will be able, then, only then, will you be able to test and approve what God's will really is for your life. You want to know what God's will is for your life? I think we all do, don't we? We really want to know, God, what do you want me to do with my life? What do you want me to do with my life? I mean, again, we've seen a lot of things. Some of you guys, warriors, I know it. Some of you guys, probably all of you, have done great things for God. But it doesn't stop there. You got to keep going till the end. You got to keep going. You got a spiritual, living sacrifice. That's your spiritual worship to God. And only then, you know, sometimes we get real confused. Well, what is God's will? What is God's will? I don't know. You know, we can't tell our will or what it is for us or for anybody else, you know. It's because we're not being living sacrifices and we're not transforming our brain. We're caught up in the things that Satan has told us through our life. You know, whether it's you're not good enough or you're too good for everybody. I mean, you got the extremes, you know. Whether it's, you know, you don't have to really do that to be a Christian. Or, you know, you can get by on less. So we need to transform. Then we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. And this is very key. This is several places in your New Testament, if you'll go back and study it out, about how to know God's will and how you can know. It's not just doesn't appear to you. I mean, maybe sometimes, okay. Like you have a strong, I need to do this. But it's because we're thinking what God wants us to think. We're studying what God wants us to study. We're being who God wants us to be. Oh, I got 10 minutes. All right. Yeah. Well, I got a little off track. All right, Philippians 2. And this just goes on. I kind of ran into my second point of you got to take personal responsibility for your life. Nobody else needs to take responsibility for your life. Nobody else can live your life. Nobody else is in your situation. Now, get what I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm doing it on my own, okay? But nobody's going to take responsibility for you. When you stand before God, he's not going to say, oh, well, so-and-so didn't help you. Come on in. You know, No. He's going to say, why didn't you think about this? Why didn't you apply my word to your heart, to your brain? Why didn't you do the things I asked you to do? We get so caught up in our own problems sometimes that we cannot see the forest for the trees. I don't know if y'all say that here. Anyway, it's an old saying anyway. So it's not what happens to us that's so important. It's what happens in us. It's not what happens to us. We have some bad things. I'm not negating that. We have some bad things happen to us in our lives. And my son's a good example of that. You know, 8 years in an orphanage. But can you overcome that? Yeah, you can. We can overcome it because what happens in us. And Ruth and Naomi would be a good study on that. I just did that for my young women. And it's kind of filtered through the church, which is great. Because sometimes we get bitter instead of better, right? You've probably heard that. But sometimes we get bitter about what's happened to us when God, what did it say? Can do immeasurably. Yep, here it is, jet lag. More than we ask or, okay, he can do so much more than we ask or imagine, okay? That we don't even know where we can go with God. We need to dream big, but we need to take personal responsibility for ourselves. Now, we can't make it without anybody else, and I'm going to talk about that now the last few minutes. But let me read something, too. This was something in my life, Psalms 71. I just haven't had that printed out, so I'll read it. A few years ago, okay, I said, I'm old, and I'm not being effective, and, you know, all that stuff. I was just pity party. And so I read Psalm 71, verses 17 and 18. And this is one I've shared many, many, many times over since that year, every year. Every month, I bet. Maybe not every month, but I've shared this with all my best friends. I've shared it with all my young friends. I've shared it with everybody I can think of. It says, since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day, I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. That spoke to me. It's talking about being old and gray. I colored my hair, I'm sorry. That's why I'm not gray. But not ready for that yet. But when I am old and gray, God, don't forsake me. Let me still be effective in your kingdom. The next month, or maybe it was that month, we were having dinner. Sitting right next to us was a couple we invited to church. They came the next day. It was Saturday night. It was one of those hibachi grills, you know. A lot of fun. We had company, so we went out. We took them there. We don't always go there, but we used to go there when the kids made A's. They got to go to the hibachi grill. It's our favorite place. Sitting right next to us was this young couple. We started talking to them. They had just moved to Columbia not too few months ago. They were from Texas, which is amazing. That's where I'm from, if I didn't say that. They were from Texas, so we had this connection. Now, remember, I had been praying this scripture every day. I'd been praying this scripture. We invited them. They came the next day, the next week. They never stopped coming. They were baptized in 3 months. They were young. They were my kids' age. They were a little older than my kids. But they lived right in our neighborhood. It was an amazing thing. This scripture works. Just pray. Pick your scripture and pray it. Whatever scripture you want, pray it and see what God will do. That was only God. Today they're leading in our region. We have a region that we lead. They lead the young marrieds in our region. This is 3 years later. It's amazing what God will do. The number of people, I can't even count that we've asked to church. No, thank you. No, oh, yeah, we'll be there. No show. You know what I'm saying? But God, I found a scripture and I used it. That's what using constant training, use of the scriptures will do for you. And I really believe that God wants that. God wants to bless us. God wants to help us. God wants Africa to be saved. You've got some hard issues here. You have some really difficult issues, but you have to get out of your comfort zone. Oh, 5 minutes. Okay. I want to talk about, yes. Oh, let me just add this in, too, because this is something we say over the years. God values our choices, not the things we can't control. In America, this is how we teach that. You did nothing to be the way you look. Okay, color my hair. I'm not talking about it. We do nothing about who we are, the way we look outside, okay? We did nothing to get our athletic ability, right? Nothing to get our academics. This is something we taught our kids. You're smart, but you did nothing, really. God gave it to you. But what we were concerned about is choices that they made. God's concerned about our choices. You did nothing. If you do something great, if you're smart, if you're pretty, if you're beautiful, if you're tall, where's that beautiful girl? Yeah. Anyway, she's in the teens, I guess, somewhere. If you're rich, if you're poor, you did nothing really to get there. God gave everybody what they have. But our choices are what matters to God. Our choices at the end of the day will make you or break you. It's all about character. It's all about what's inside, okay? I want to talk for a minute about relationships just at the end. John 13, 34 and 35, you will know they're my disciples by their love for each other. And this is where you bring the, it's up to me and it's also up to everybody else around me, okay? It's kind of two. You can't do without it. It's like that airplane. I don't want one wing on that airplane. I want both wings working, okay? You have to take personal responsibility for yourself. But you also have to be so closely involved with each other. And in my small world and short travels, this is what I find. I find that we're very, very good at getting together and drinking coffee and socializing. We love it. It's, again, like I said, that's my favorite thing to do is drink coffee and just laugh and have a good time with people and talk about all the dumb things our kids have done or haven't done, and maybe they did something great that week, it's just fun to do those kinds of things. Here's where we get off. We don't have a scripture in mind for our friends, our best friends. We need to think scripture, scripture, scripture. And I wish I had thought of one, but here, I'll give you some examples. Hebrews 3. I have so many friends at this age. It's like, how do you add another friend to your life after this long, But it's like having another child. It's easy. You know, when you have two children, you think, how can I love a third one? Especially if you just have one, you think, wow, how am I going to love two children like I love this one? Because the first one's like, wow, But you do, don't you? And then the third one. Then the fourth one. I know somebody has six kids. She loves them all. So, we do it. Well, that's how we do it in the kingdom, in God's kingdom. You just keep adding. You keep adding. And you keep loving. And you keep loving. So, Hebrews 3:12 says, but encourage one another yearly. Daily. Daily. Encourage one another. How much? Daily. Well, that's pretty specific, isn't it? As long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Whoa. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end. The confidence, we had it first. It says, encourage one another daily. huh? By saying, oh, you look so cute tonight. And I mean, that is encouraging. Okay, I like that. But how about saying, you know, here's the scripture in Psalm 71, and this has really changed my life. And I notice you've been a little, or I notice you've been a little down. Let's see. I will sing of the Lord's great love for him. I will declare. You know, what about, you know, somebody who's really struggling with a sin? How about no temptation? He sees man, but is common to everybody. I can relate to you. Common temptations. Do we really do those things? I know we used to. And y'all know Mark Ottenweller. He often comes through and stays at our house. And he was just there. He's very good at this. A scripture a day for people. You know, it's like he just comes up with it. So I was really challenged to do that. And, of course, one time he was at our house. And I'm like, okay, I'm doing this scripture for people. It takes thought. You have to really think about it in the morning. What scripture can I share for who, and not just pull one out of a hat? I mean, you got to think about it, you know. Well, unfortunately, fortunately, I was going to see my doctor that day. I'm like, oh, shoot, because, you know, doctors are kind of intimidating. But I shared a scripture with her, and you know what? She sat down because she has two young kids. She sat down in the room and said, yes, and she started talking to me. Well, lo and behold, one thing led to the other, and I took her the book on raising awesome kids. I said, well, I've got a book you can read. So it just gives me something to talk to her about every time I go in her office, which is more than it used to be, okay, this age. But we need to think that way. Scripture. What scripture can I give you today? What scripture can I? If you don't know somebody, then you don't know what scripture to give them, do you? If you haven't asked them how are your quiet times going, how are you doing spiritually, and sometimes we can even get together weekly and not do this. Weekly, everybody we get with, we share the word. And mostly it's our staff right now. Again, we're going to bring, well, there's three couples in our region also that we get with weekly. The children's ministry people. That, you know, it's, you've got to have those scriptures. You've got to work that brain. It's not that you can't do it. It's that you're not doing it. So, and again, I don't know everybody, so don't be insulted. I'm sure some of you do a great job of this, but we need to be reminded of this. We need to remind each other. And guess what? If you do that with somebody, you think it's going to remind them to do it with somebody else? And that's how the whole body comes together. Relationships are so important. We assume they know. We assume we know. We need to share scriptures about marriage, about children, about jobs, about difficult situations. How about the story of Joseph? How about the story of Ruth and Naomi? How about the women around Jesus? Let's share those things. Let's live those things. We need to share those things and say, hey, look what these women did for Jesus. How can we do that in our church? How can we do that in our world? All right? Okay. Here's just a thought that I had, and we're going to close. I'll save that thought. I have relationships. I'm not an organized person. I have become somewhat systematic, and thank God I married Paul. He's the most systematic person you will ever meet. And I wasn't totally. I totally flew by the seat of my pants. But I have in my brain and in my heart and on my quiet time papers groups of women, peers. I have a group of women that I live and die with. They'll tell me anything about my life. Thank God. Thank God. You have got to have those peer relationships. If you don't have them, you're going to die spiritually. You're not going to make it. I guarantee you. You may sit here, but your heart will not make it. We have to have people who love us enough to tell us the truth. We have to. And I call that love. It doesn't feel like love, does it? No. But it's love at the deepest level. I have to have those people. Because those young women, now I have that group of young women, you think they will speak up, and my daughter's great about saying, Mom, don't do that, or, you know, don't wear that, or something, you know. But I'm talking about, you know, things of the heart. And she does. She'll call me. So do we have younger women in our life who can look at us and say, oh, I really didn't feel good about that? We have got to be in each other's lives like this. We will not make it without this. Not make it. The other group I have is some friends I'm reaching out to. I do things with these women. I've stayed through with this woman. She's my age. She refuses to believe she's not a Christian. But she comes to church every week. She wants to come to Africa with her husband, who's an optometrist. And I said, come on. You know, I'll come back with her to give her the chance to know the gospel. She knows pretty much everything about my life. I'm not afraid to share my life with this woman. We have to have people like that in our life. We have to. Not even an option, okay? So anyway, I know I'm getting off it, and I can't remember. I had four groups. Peers, families, which is sons and daughters, the lost, and something, it's right in that book. What was the other group? It may have been the young kids, the younger women, probably. Yeah, the staff, the younger women, okay. All right, so in your prayers and in your life, find somebody that, this is how I do it. I find people that I really get along with without any trouble at all. There's some people you have to forge those relationships. But it's not people who won't tell me, again, or who I won't tell what I see in their life and in their children. But then you need to find somebody who has your weakness as a strength. You got to find somebody. If your weakness is prayer, then you better find a prayer warrior that will pray with you, that will come to your house, or that every time you get together, they'll say, let's pray. If your weakness is Bible study, you better find somebody who knows how to study the Bible. So that's kind of my parting, you know, hope for you. And again, I am so grateful and so thankful, just to honored to be here with you guys who have done so much for God's kingdom and who carry the weight of the poorest people in the world on your shoulders. And that's very much on our heart. And sometimes I feel so inadequate in the United States to do anything about it. So I appreciate what you do. I love you. I pray that you'll take these things to heart. I'm going to leave some scriptures with Lisa. And so that, you know, you can have the benefit of some of it. Thank you very, very much.